Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the newsroom here at Car Talk Plaza.
No, we had one.
Well, we didn't until yesterday. Now, we know that All Things Considered and Morning Edition can't cover every story that's out there. I mean, it's just impossible, right?
It is.
So in the interest of public service, here are a few headlines from last year that our premier news shows probably missed.
These are real headlines from newspapers.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's one. Police begin campaign to run down jaywalkers. How about this? Panda mating fails. Veterinarian to take over. Miners refuse to work after death. I mean, they all make sense. How about this one? Astronaut takes blame for gas in space. I like this one here. When making cookies, include your children. That's it.
Well, you know, I'm sure after these things were printed, the authors must have said,
oh, did I write that? Well, you know, it's interesting that there's a certain skill to writing headlines. Because there are words used that you don't normally use, and the arrangement of words is different. And you screw up by a little bit by just moving something.
We do it every week.
We do it every week.
Anyway, if you have an urgent bulletin about your car for us, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-827-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Judy from Chicago. Hi, guys.
How are you?
I'm fine. I'm so thrilled to talk with you.
And we're thrilled to talk to you.
Well, here's the deal.
Yeah.
My husband and I just moved from Santa Monica, California,
ooh,
to Chicago.
Yeah.
We drove my 240 GL precious Volvo across country.
Yeah.
And my husband, of course, thinks I've already put way too much money into this car as it is. But it's been very protected and loved, and now everyone's telling me we need to get it winterized.
Oh, yeah. these are the Chicagoans telling you?
Well, no, actually, my mechanic in California told me I should get it winterized, but he wasn't real sure what that meant. And, of course, my husband thinks it's going to cost us thousands of dollars. So if you could help me out on this, I'd really appreciate it.
Well, it already is winterized.
Yeah.
Every car is winterized, no matter where it started out.
So I don't need to get it sprayed underneath, or I don't need to get... Somebody said you have to put this stuff in your lock so that your keys don't freeze.
Nah, they're all a bunch of crazies.
No.
So my husband is right, huh?
Alarmists. They're alarmists.
Well, you should make sure that you do have enough antifreeze in there.
Okay.
I mean, in Southern California, it's obviously not critical, although you should have a 50-50 mix no matter where you live to prevent the cooling system from rusting and to lubricate the water pump, et cetera.
Right. And everyone in California, like your mechanic who advised you to dump the car... if everyone in California has been doing things right,
yes,
then you should be fine. But it wouldn't hurt to pull into a gas station and have them check to see for what low temperature is your antifreeze good to.
And how about the oil? Do you have to change the oil for winter?
Forget it.
No,
really?
You use the same kind of oil you use in California.
And how about tires? I mean, I know
snow
nothing
tires
about winter.
You're going to need. Yeah. Eight of them if you can get them.
Yeah. You probably will need snow tires.
Okay. Well, then I have one final question.
Wait a minute. Have you driven in snow before?
Well, you know, when I was 16, I lived in Colorado, but that was a long time ago.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Well, and you know, this is a rear-wheel drive car.
Yeah.
Somebody said we should be putting sandbags in our trunk. Is that, what does that mean?
Where have you been, Judy? What a sheltered life you've led out there in Southern California.
It's been very sheltered.
Well, the sandbags are for traction.
Okay.
You know, so you have more weight over the driven wheels, but you want to make sure that you don't put so many in the trunk that you actually lift the front wheels off the ground.
I see.
Well, it will happen. As a matter of fact, as you put sandbags in the trunk behind the rear axle,
yes,
you'll actually create what's called a moment arm, and you will cause the car to pivot on the rear axle. So if you put enough weight, theoretically, you could lift the front wheels right up off the ground.
Yeah.
To the extent that you wouldn't be able to see where you were going. You'd be looking up at the North Star.
But realistically, what happens is you take weight off the front wheels, and you need traction in the front as much as you need traction in the rear. the rear wheel traction gets you moving, but the front wheel traction gets you to steer. So if you don't have enough traction in all four wheels, then you might go, but you won't know where you're going.
But what advice do you have?
I would
forget the sandbag.
You need carpool participants, heavy ones.
Yeah.
Right.
If you don't have them, I would put one bag, especially since you have never driven in the snow for the last 20 years.
Yes, or more.
Or more. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Gee, you sound so young.
I know, well.
Then it wouldn't hurt to have one bag, a 60-pound bag of sand in the back.
All right.
Right, actually, the place to put the sand, ideally, we recommend this to all of our Volvo customers.
Right on the roof.
Actually in the back seat on the floor.
Really?
A sandbag on each side. Well, it's dual purpose. Number one, it gives you the best possible weight distribution.
All right.
And number two, when the floor rots out enough so the sandbags fall through, you know it's time to junk the car.
Yeah. And the other thing that you probably don't know is you need snow tires, and you need four of them.
I mean, you really do need snow tires. You don't have to.
No,
you'll need snow tires.
In Chicago, you definitely will need snow tires, and you will need four of them.
All right.
So don't let your husband talk you out of the front two, because you need those as much as you need the two in the back.
All right, you guys. So I guess I sort of won this argument.
Kind of, I guess.
Yeah, but it's not important to win, is it, Judy?
Well,
all know that.
That's right.
It's how you play the game.
It's how you argue.
That's right.
See you,
right.
Judy.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. Have a happy winter.
Oh, thanks so much. I'll check back with you.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
A little book on marital relations, like men are from Mars, women are from nowhere. men are from nowhere. I'll work on that.
You're going nowhere, man. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Christian Spencer in Oxford, Ohio.
Christian.
Oxford,
yep.
Ohio.
Home of Miami University.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I think I knew that.
Now, after what or whom is Miami University named? And didn't they know there was going to be a problem?
Actually, Miami University was founded way before Florida was.
I don't think so.
Oh, yeah, it's true, actually.
Come on, the oldest city in the country.
1807,
1807, Miami was...
It was named after the Indian tribe that used to live here in southwest Ohio.
Oh, really?
Oh, and they went to Florida for the summer.
And they loved it so much, they changed the name of the tribe, the Miamians.
Yeah, I just graduated, so...
So that's your alma mater.
Yeah.
What'd you major in, Christian?
Interdisciplinary studies.
Does that include, do you want fries with that? What is interdisciplinary studies?
Interdisciplinary studies is just the code word for pretty much creating your own major.
Right, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. So which McDonald's are you working at?
Actually, I'm working at a pizza place. I'm way too qualified to handle fries, so they had to put me on dough.
Good man.
No, actually, that's the best way to get an education.
And you'll probably never have your hands on that much dough ever again in your life.
With a certain uncertainty, you might say.
A certain uncertainty.
So anyway, what's the...
So what kind of a 1976 Chevy do you own?
Actually, I own a 1988 Suzuki Samurai. It's a 5-speed hardtop.
Wow.
Car.
Yeah.
You know the Samurai.
Oh, of course.
Doesn't everyone.
About a month and a half ago, I started having this little problem with the clutch. Now, I bought it... 5 years ago, and put about 60,000 miles on it. Had very little problems with it. I've done almost every repair on it myself.
Good.
But I started having this problem where when I would shift gears, the clutch would start to be a little hard. Not the clutch, not the pedal, but shifting the gear shift. Be a little sticky, a little hard to get into gear. Mm-hmm. Eventually, this turned into a situation where I'd have to apply about 500 pounds of pressure to move the gear shift.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
only when the engine was running, however.
Only when the engine was running.
Right.
Only once it got good and warm.
And this happens in all gears or just first gear?
It happens in first and second, and then eventually third and fourth and fifth.
Oh, until it just won't go into any gear.
Yeah, eventually.
When you say you have to put a lot of force to make it move, while you're doing that, is it grinding away or not?
Only when I put it in reverse. Every other time it didn't do it. But I talked to all my mechanic and a couple other people, and... they said my clutch was probably about to go out because it hadn't been replaced in 5 years. That was what they were just like, your clutch is probably about to die. And they were right. A week later, the clutch went. And after being stranded on a not-so-friendly street, I got it towed, and I got the standard 3-part clutch assembly put into it.
Yeah.
by a friend of mine who's a mechanic. Sure enough, I get it back the next day, and it, the same thing happens. And it's the exact same problem. But he goes to Florida.
Miami, right?
Miami, maybe.
Now, when you say that the mechanics told you that your clutch was ready to go, and
yes,
indeed the clutch went.
Yes.
What does that mean? What do you mean it went? Where did it went?
Well, it just stopped working.
In what way? It already wasn't working. Or
well,
it appeared to not be.
It's just like the pedal went down, never came back.
Oh.
So the pedal went down to the floor and stayed there.
Well, pretty much. It popped up a little bit more, and then, like, it was all rubbery. There was nothing to the clutch. Like, the car wouldn't start. You couldn't push it down. It was gone.
All right. Does this have a hydraulic clutch or a cable clutch?
I'm pretty sure it has a hydraulic clutch.
Good. Because if it didn't,
we wouldn't have any answer.
We would have been hanging up on you.
No, we would have had. I had a backup answer.
I have a backup answer. I always have a backup answer.
I had a backup answer for the cable.
I think what happened is your clutch master cylinder failed. The day that the pedal went to the floor, what you didn't need was a clutch.
No.
What you really needed was a clutch master. Either the thing had run out of fluid, causing...
No, we checked that.
Well, or it wasn't pumping. But in any event, I bet when your friend put the new clutch in, he had to bleed the thing, too, to get it to work correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And then as it heats up and the bore of the thing expands, the clutch master cylinder is less able to provide the requisite pressure to disengage the clutch. And that's why you have to lean on that handle, the shifter, that is, to shift it.
Okay.
So I would recommend you change the clutch master and the slave.
And the slave?
Yeah, they're cheap enough.
And you can do this yourself if you've done all the other work on the vehicle.
Okay, well, I'll give it a shot.
Okay.
And this will fix it. It's a guarantee.
Okay.
You'll never run again. You'll never deliver another pizza. See you,
well,
Christian.
I'll see you at McDonald's later.
Good luck, man.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. This is Luella in Rome, Georgia.
Luella. L-O-U-E-L-L-A.
You know what? You're a genius. That is exactly how you spell it.
That's how I spelled it on my little sheet of paper here.
He was looking over my shoulder.
Where are you from?
Rome, Georgia. We're in the northwest part of Georgia, about an hour north of Atlanta and an hour south of Chattanooga, and you can throw a rock and hit Alabama.
Rome, Georgia.
Rome, R-O.
Oh, Rome, like Rome, Italy.
Exactly. We have seven hills like that, too. So.
Okay.
Excellent.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right, we're with you. Go ahead, Luella.
Okay, this is a philosophical question for you all.
Yes.
I have two teenage daughters.
Oh, brother.
I know, we're in trouble already. And the older one has expressed an interest in learning to drive a manual transmission, which we don't have a car with a manual transmission, but I am just wondering, in this day and age, is it worth the blood, sweat, and tears to teach two teenage girls how to drive a manual transmission, or should I just always make sure they have cab money?
Well, in this day and age, I would have to say it doesn't make sense.
Right.
It's fun to drive a stick shift,
mm-hmm,
but in the old days, it used to be a thing that you would do to save money.
Right.
Oh, buying a stick shift car, you mean?
Buying a stick shift car. The other reason was that people thought automatic transmissions broke frequently and cost a fortune to fix.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not true anymore.
Right.
Well, part of it's true. They don't break frequently, but they still cost a fortune to fix. In fact, they cost a bigger fortune to fix.
Oh, they do. But they just don't break as they used to.
And automatics now get just as good mileage as the standard shift cars.
Sure.
You know.
And the clutches wear out on standard shift cars, and that takes care of that.
Right. Well, I was going to ask you if anybody made like a Kevlar clutch or anything. I don't know.
Why do they want to do this?
Well, you know, she's a freshman in college, and I think she may have run across her first manual transmission, and it's just a challenge.
You know what? She should do it. I disagree with my brother. I mean, while it may be unnecessary to know how to drive stick shift because the vast majority of cars sold are automatics, it's nice to know. And it takes, with the right boyfriend, she could learn to drive stick shift in an hour or two. At least well enough so that in an emergency.
Right, which is what you think about with girls. You want them to be able to drive anything, you know, a tank if they have to.
Exactly. I mean, you can imagine any one of a million scenarios where it would be beneficial to be able to drive a stick shift car or, for example, a truck.
Right.
Lots of trucks to stick shift. What if she had to drive a truck? What if she had to get out of town in a hurry and move, and she had to drive a truck, and it only had a stick shift?
Right.
Yeah. Well, so that's one.
Right.
What's the other 999?
Well, I can't think of any right now. I mean,
yeah. Well, no. And where do you come up with somebody who's foolish enough to loan you their stick shift?
A boyfriend.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, you know, what if she goes to junior year abroad, and she goes to the Greek island of Samos?
Yes.
It could happen, right?
She's going to like this idea.
They ain't got no automatics in Samos.
You mean they ain't got no stinking
automatics. And all the Greek guys are going to be chasing her all over the place. She's probably got blonde hair and blue eyes.
She exactly does.
And she's gonna need to drive anything that she can get her hands on.
Yeah, so she
and drive
escape.
Fast.
Make a fast getaway.
Yeah. And if she does find a boyfriend who is willing to teach her how to drive his stick shift car,
right,
she should dump him right after she learns, because this kid is a moron.
Truly. Well, all right.
But that's the easiest way to learn. You're not going to buy a stick shift car.
Not just for this, because
no.
It would be trashed. And I have another, you know, I have a 15-year-old coming behind her, so.
Yeah, you got
to. And, of course, once she learns, the older one learns, then the other one's going to have to learn as well.
Right. No. Although her main concern is why the driver's side makeup mirror isn't any bigger.
Well, that could be remedied, too.
Driver's side, she calls that a makeup mirror, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Luella, good luck.
Well, thanks so much. I appreciate the advice.
But with the right teacher, she can really learn pretty fast.
Pretty quickly, since she already drives.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's encouraging.
All right.
All right.
Thanks for the call, Luella.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye. Okay, Tommy, seems like you need a little time out right now, don't you think?
Is this so I can think about all the wrong answers that I've come up with today?
Well, not really. We only have a minute. We'll be right back.
My Chrysler is amazing. My Chrysler is so slick. My Chrysler only has half a T-top. The rest blew out near Sparta Whisk. When it rains, I start to cry, because there's no way for me to stay dry. Chrysler is air-conditioned now. My Chrysler is so cool. Duct tape and empty bags don't work. I drive around like a stupid jerk. My Chrysler is amazing. Yeah, it's quite a piece of work.
And even though chimpanzees pray for opposable thumbs so someday they can turn off their radios when they hear us say it, this is NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Hammacher Schlemmer, helping define modern living for 172 years. They were the first to offer revolutionary items that became common household necessities, such as the pop-up toaster. Today, their lineup includes an air purifier that uses natural convection to draw airborne impurities into its ceramic heating chamber and then releases clean air into the room. Find this and other items at Hammacher.com. Use code NPR20 to receive $20 off your order.
This message comes from Car Talk and NPR sponsor BetterHelp, a truly affordable online counseling service. Fill out a questionnaire online and get matched with a licensed counselor best suited to your mental health needs. Whether it's depression, anxiety, or trauma, BetterHelp will help you overcome what stands in the way of your happiness. Learn more at BetterHelp.com and get 10% off your first month with promo code CARTALK. BetterHelp. Get help anytime, anywhere.
There are these networks of staunchly pro-gun groups on Facebook. And one of them is run by these three brothers, the Door Brothers. But it turns out, they don't just do guns. The Door family name has been attached to other causes.
Their goal is to eliminate public education and to replace it with Christian schooling.
The Roots of the Door Family on the No Compromise podcast from NPR.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. And this one was from the baseball algebraic series.
There aren't many of those.
No.
This is the only one.
Standalone.
A series of one.
Here it is. There are two rookie players, and we call them Bluto and Popeye. On opening day, they made a wager on who would have the best batting average at the end of the season. So here it is. It's the last game of the season, and nothing's going to change because neither of these guys is in the starting lineup. So Bluto says, "Hey, Popeye, what did you bat for the first half of the season?" Popeye says, "I am what I am, and it's all that I am, and I batted 250. Bluto says, "I got you there. I batted 300. Then Bluto asks, "How about after the All-Star break?" And Popeye proudly pipes up, "I batted 375. Bluto says, "Pretty good. You know what I batted? 400. Fork over that $20 that we bet.
And I believe you also said that they had the same number of at-bats.
I did. It was then that Dougie the Bat Boy saunters over and says, "Don't pay the $20. I think you won."
Huh?
How could that be? And how many times did they hit him with the bat? Well, here it is.
Go ahead, man. I can hardly wait.
Let's assume that they both had 600 at-bats.
Is that a lot?
No, it's about average for a guy who plays the whole season except for the last game.
Okay, that's 600 okay. at-bats. Yeah.
If Bluto batted 300 for the first half of the season, and he had 500 at-bats during that first half of the season.
Ooh.
He had got 150 hits. 150 over 500 is 300 average,
so
right?
He would have gotten 150, yeah.
Okay. If Popeye batted 250 and had 100 at-bats, he would have had 25 for 100. Okay. You with me so far?
I'm with you.
Second half of the season, Bluto bats 400. How does he do that? Well, we know he had 500 at-bats in the first half.
So he's only been up 100 times in the second half
of
the
season. And he got 40 hits.
And he got 40 hits. Got it.
Popeye bats 375.
But he's up 500 times.
And he gets 187 and a half hits. One of them was a check swing single over the infield. They don't count that as half a hit.
Yeah.
So now let's figure it all out.
So we got...
Bluto batted 600 times. How many total hits did he get?
190 I have.
Right. How about Popeye? How many hits did he get?
212.
212 and a half.
And a half.
And when you figure that out, Bluto batted 316 for the season.
Yeah.
Right? Even though he batted 300 and 400 in each half.
Yeah.
And Popeye bats 353 and wins the batting title.
No kidding.
Pretty good, huh?
Pretty darn good. A good little example of the arithmetic mean
and how statistics can lie. More importantly.
Wow. That's good. Now, you know that every fifth grade teacher in the country will be using this problem next week.
I hope so. Because it's a good one.
And what they should do is take bets, teach the kids about betting.
Right.
and they should give odds, teach the kid about odds.
They can cover all the bases,
cover
so to speak.
All the bases, so to speak.
So who's our winner?
The winner is Mike Bennett from Dallas, Texas. And for having his answer selected at random from among all the correct answers, Mike is going to get a $25 gift certificate to the store at cartalk.com. And with that $25 gift certificate, he can get a Cartalk Disappearing Hairline Cover-Up Kit, also known as the embroidered Cartalk baseball cap.
Anyway, we will have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show. It's not automotive, but I think it's... kind of cute. So stay tuned for that. If you have a question about your car or anything else, please give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Good day, gentlemen.
Hey.
This is Dale from Florida.
Hey, Dale. What part of Florida?
Clearwater, the Tampa Bay area.
Okay.
Yeah.
Best part of Florida.
Yeah.
I have a 1994 GMC pickup, half-ton pickup.
Uh-huh.
She's starting to talk to me and moan and groan. And through a process of elimination, I have narrowed it down to the air conditioning, but I don't know specifically what's wrong with it. But if you'd like for me to describe, I can actually give you the noise that it makes.
First, tell us under what conditions it makes the noise.
When the air conditioning is running.
Good.
Yes.
Huh. Okay.
And the noise that it makes is about a 2 to 3 minute interval. And it sounds like it's passing wind.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Would you like me to describe the sound?
Go right
go
to
ahead.
It, man.
Okay, here we go. And it'll do this. And I've had friends in my car saying, "Dale, what are you going to do with this thing?" And I said, "I don't know. I'm either going to give it some fuel treatment or throw a bottle of Kaopectic down the tank."
And no one says, "Dale, stop that."
I have not taken it into a professional shop yet. I thought I'd give you guys a whack at it first.
Where does it sound like the sound is coming from?
It's either something close to the firewall or possibly, it's tough, it's really tough to hear it.
Oh, sure, and it won't do it at all unless you're going at high speed.
Right.
Well, you can simulate high speed by turning the air conditioner on, because the air conditioner doesn't know whether the thing is moving or not. If you can bring the throttle up to 3,000 RPM in the shop, you can reproduce the noise in the shop.
Okay.
My first inclination is that it's the compressor clutch that's failing.
Well, I checked that, and there's plenty of clutch out there.
All right, so we'll go back. Plan B.
Yeah.
I always have a plan B, because plan A almost always fails.
Yeah.
And plan B is that it's a vacuum leak in one of the controls.
Uh-huh.
And that's, I think, would make the passing wind sound.
Yeah, it's wind.
Wow.
It is wind.
It is wind. It is literally a wind sound.
Literally wind.
Oh,
I like this. I like this one. I like plan B.
Well, I'll tell you, it's hell on dates, man, because they think I'm making noise, and I'm saying, look, it's my car, it's my truck.
Right, it's always tough to break into a song or something when you sense the thing is starting to do it.
Now, what would cause it to do it about every 2 to 3 minutes? There's some kind of a time frame in there, in a pattern.
Yeah, because the vacuum builds up.
Exactly.
And leaks. And something is leaking, and so you got this cycle going on of some vacuum building up and then leaking down, and at some point on the way up or down, it makes the noise.
There are things called vacuum motors, you know, which control the doors to direct, you know, the flow of air. And if one of those...
Talking to which, I got, one of those, I don't know which one it is, but man, that door slams hard. It sounds like a garage door slamming.
Ah.
There you go.
Yeah, I do have that.
That's the one. And if it is one of these doors or vacuum motors, it's going to be relatively easy to fix.
Okay.
Good luck, Dale.
Good luck, Dale. Drive safely, brother.
Hey, thank you very much. You all have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
See ya.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Majika calling from Chicago.
Majika?
Majika.
As in magic?
Yes, with an A at the end.
No kidding.
Really?
What kind of a name is that?
Hippie parents.
Hippie parents.
Hippie parents' name.
No kidding. And where'd you say you were from?
Chicago.
Chicago. What are your parents doing in Chicago if they're hippies?
Well, they were all over at the time, but...
Where were you born?
Chicago.
Chicago.
Yeah.
No kidding.
And where did they start out?
Chicago.
They started off in Chicago. They had a Volkswagen bus that didn't make it too far. they made it to Schaumburg.
So, do you have a Volkswagen bus?
I do not have a Volkswagen bus. I have a 94 Geo Prism.
Ah.
So what's up, Magica?
Well, my problem is twofold. One is that with the passenger side airbag in that chamber there, it's a razor blade.
The razor blade got stuck in there?
Yeah, my husband was trying to scrape off the Old City sticker, and he set it there while he was doing something else, and it slid inside.
Oh.
Jeez, wouldn't that be an awful thing? That you have an accident, the thing deploys, it saves your life, but the razor blade comes and severs your jugular vein.
Well, see, that's what I think will happen, but my husband thinks it's not a big deal.
I think you should drive. Is it just the two of you in this car?
No, my daughter sits in the back behind the driver's side.
Oh. Well, she's probably all right, but you never know. I mean, don't forget that bag, those first-generation airbags go off at like 200 miles an hour. I mean, that passenger side airbag.
It comes flying out of there.
So if that blade is in such a spot that it is getting propelled by that thing, it could fly around that. It could lacerate 3 jugular veins.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I mean, the good news is that those blades, even though they're stainless steel, the backing of those single-edged blades is regular steel that can be attracted by a magnet. So you could try to fish the blade out of there with a magnet, and you can get a skinny, skinny magnet and maybe extricate the thing.
Okay.
Because it you might be able to get something that'll fit right in the hole that the blade fell through.
Exactly.
Right.
And then just fish it right out of there. He hasn't done that yet?
No.
No, because he doesn't think it's serious.
He doesn't think it's a big deal.
It is.
Oh, you know what else could work? Compressed air. You may be able to blow.
I don't like it.
I do. Have him do it.
No, I mean, you might blow the blade around and slice the airbag.
Well, I would try the magnet first, obviously.
I mean, it's further in than we can see. We can't see it anymore.
Yeah, but the magnet would pull, a skinny magnet might be able to pull that thing. It may have already damaged the bag, you don't know. But if it did, it did. I mean, the safest thing to do, obviously, would be to go to the dealer and have them put a new airbag in, which they can do.
So I can tell him he's not allowed to put my daughter in the car anymore.
No, I don't think anyone should be in the car except for him. No, you got to get it fixed.
No, he's got to. Is he usually devil may care like this?
Yeah.
Give us. What else has he done that's infuriated you?
I think that's a topic for a different helpline.
The list is too strong, too long, eh?
You said there were two things. Is that one's number one?
Well, number two was that he doesn't think it's a problem.
Oh. Well,
we think it's a problem.
Well, is it going to help if we tell him it's a problem?
Well, I hope that hearing this will help.
Well, either that or, like has happened to many of our listeners, it will change his opinion of us. So
I knew there were morons, and I still think so.
I didn't know there were morons until right now. Well, good luck.
Thank you very much.
To the dealer. Get their advice. I mean, maybe they can fish the razor blade out, but whatever you do, get it to them and get it fixed.
Get it fixed.
Okay.
Right.
See you, Magica.
Thank
long
you.
Magica.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Jerry Kaiser in Boulder Creek, California.
Hi, Jerry.
Boulder Creek where?
Boulder Creek, California, in the Santa Cruz Mountains near Santa Cruz.
No kidding.
Guys, I got a 97 Grand Caravan, and a couple weeks ago, while coming down a fairly steep grade for about 5 minutes, I suddenly noticed myself in the middle of a cloud of smoke. And at the bottom of the hill, I stopped the car, and I had flames about 4 inches high in my front wheels.
Isn't that exciting?
Oh, yeah. I went looking for some marshmallows. I took the car into the dealership, and the service manager told me that the grease behind the brakes was burning, that I only had 10% wear on my brake pads, but my rotors and calipers were fried to the tune of $800. And he said that the front brakes had been set to do a little bit more work than the rear, which contributed to the problem, but neither he nor his mechanics knew the cause. So, I mean, you know, I'm concerned about safety. I don't want to pay $800 again. I didn't downshift.
We know that.
Right.
So this was, you said this was a mile, but I'm going to guess it was more than a mile.
Oh, yeah, it was more than a mile.
Like 10 miles?
About 2 miles.
During which time you had your foot on the brake the whole continuously?
I was pumping the brakes.
But mostly on?
Mostly on.
How fast were you going?
I would say at the most about 30.
Oh,
that's a lot. By the way, you should have downshifted.
Okay.
But here's my question. What caught fire?
He said that there was some kind of grease behind the brake.
Oh, behind the pads.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
anti-squeak grease.
Well, was it a lot of flame?
The flames were about 4 inches high and lasted for about 90 seconds.
Cool. All right, here's what happened. Obviously, by using the brakes as much as you did, the brakes got very, very hot.
Right.
And they got hotter than they were designed to get.
Right.
And that's why you should have downshifted, and that's why it's recommended on
all right, he knows that. You don't have to berate the guy.
Everyone
he even
else.
Told you I didn't downshift.
I'm telling
he
everyone.
He knows he should have downshifted.
Geez.
Cut the guy some slack. His car is on fire here. I'm with you, Jerry.
And what happened is that the grease that whoever did the last brake job put, we use it ourselves, we use a very high temperature grease between the metal part of the pad and the caliper.
Right.
And even though it's high temperature, it's not infinitely high temperature.
Right.
And it caught fire.
Okay. So
what's the question now?
Well,
is there a defect in the car, a defect in the driver? It's possible the guy put so much grease, but it's unlikely.
No, and don't forget, that grease shouldn't have caught fire. It caught fire because it was just overheated. So I don't think you can blame anybody.
But myself for not downshifting.
Except the fact that you didn't downshift, you meatball. That's the problem. That's why they tell you to downshift, and that's why it's so important to downshift, because the trouble with this issue is it doesn't happen often enough.
Well,
if it happened every time someone didn't downshift, you'd see all kinds of vehicles in flames at the bottom of the hills.
Right.
And the truth is, you hardly ever see it happen.
Right.
But it can happen.
Well, you know what? To tell you the truth, you were pretty lucky, because what generally happens is not that the wheels catch fire. In fact, that's pretty rare. What usually happens is the brake fluid gets so hot, it boils.
And then you have no brakes and you don't stop
at least
the bottom.
You still had brakes. They were burning brakes.
Better burning than none at all.
But you had brakes. But when the brake fluid boils, the pedal just sinks right to the floor and you've got nothing.
So we assume then that if I just downshift when I'm going down hills and apply brakes when needed, that this isn't going to happen anymore?
Exactly. Yeah. You apply brakes sparingly.
Right.
See you, Jerry.
Got it. Thanks.
Thanks
Good luck.
For your call.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Tommy, it's time for us to take a break.
Another break? I don't need no stinking break.
It's not for you. It's for the listeners. Have a little mercy, will you?
We'll be back in a minute.
Everyone and everything is trying to stop me, but not her, my old jalopy. She's not cheap, if you know what I mean. Burns more oil than gasoline. She's a little rusty, but she's nice inside. She's my Bonnie and I'm her Clyde. You think she's ugly, but I knew you would. You should see what you got under the hood. Tripping around the block in a brand new Cadillac. No thank you, sir. You can gladly have it back. Taking a little spin in a sexy red Ferrari.
And even though little old ladies stomp on their miracle ears whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from Newman's Own Foundation, working to nourish the common good by donating all profits from Newman's Own food products to charitable organizations that seek to make the world a better place. More information is available at newmansownfoundation.org.
With the unemployment rate at record highs right now, millions of Americans are without health insurance.
This week on Throughline, how our healthcare became tied to our jobs.
And how a temporary solution turned into an everlasting problem.
Listen now to Throughline from NPR, where we go back in time
to understand the present.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Non-automotive and hopefully non-bogus.
We'll see. I know one of those is right.
Go ahead.
Stevie had decided it was time to take his motorcycle to work. It had been, you know, in the garage all winter, and finally the weather had gotten nice, and he figured it's time. So he gets the thing out of mothballs. He siphons gas out of his snowblower, fills up the tank, fires the thing up, and off he goes. And he's enjoying the beautiful sunshine, the warm air, and he comes to an intersection that he goes through every day, but usually driving his car. And you know, when you're on a motorcycle, you're keenly aware of everything that's around you. You see the birds chirping. You can really smell the aroma of the exhaust gases coming out of the car in front of you.
Yeah.
And he looks up at a building that's to his right, and he sees one of those big signs that displays the time and the temperature. So he notices the time comes on, and he says, geez, I guess I'm really late for work, but I'll stay late, not to worry. And the temperature comes up in Fahrenheit, and then a few seconds later, it comes up in centigrade.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, huh, that's interesting. The digits are exactly reversed. For example, if it had said 31 degrees Fahrenheit when it showed the centigrade reading,
13.
It was 13. He says, I've never seen that before. The light turns green, and off he goes to work.
Yeah.
Well, because he got to work so late, he decides to stay late. And he realizes he should have listened to the weather forecast for that day, because when he comes out of work, it's drizzly and rainy and cold and lousy. Anyway, he has to get back on his motorcycle, and he's coming home. And he
Let me guess, he comes to the same intersection.
You know? What are the chances? He comes to the same intersection. He thinks, geez, you know, what are the chances that I would ever see that again?
Yeah.
Well, he knows it's a different temperature because it's not warm and sunny like it was when he went to work.
Yeah.
It's cold and drizzly and rainy. And he sees the temperature in Fahrenheit. And he sees
Let me guess.
In centigrade. And
they're the same reversed. Same digits reversed.
They're reversed.
Again.
What are the chances of that? And the question
only is, in a puzzler would this happen. Don't try this at home, folks.
So the question very simply is, what was the temperature in the morning when he went to work? And what was the temperature when he came home? Now, if you think you know the answer, write
That's
it on a
excellent
postcard are in the back, and you can give the answer.
If there's an answer, this is a great puzzle.
Oh, if there's an answer, this, yeah. And you can give the answer in either Fahrenheit or centigrade. We don't care.
We will do the conversion ourselves.
Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or on the back of a $21 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt02238, or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. But right now, if
you can hand deliver it.
Or you can hand deliver it. But if you want an answer that's on a par with the other answers we've given today, you can give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Sheba, and I was calling about my car. It's a Volvo.
Are you like, like queen of?
Of course.
Okay. Queen of Sheba. Where are you from?
I'm from New York.
City?
I'm the queen of my apartment.
New York City?
New York City.
Manhattan?
New York, New York.
Which end of Manhattan?
Which part of Manhattan?
Up or down?
Uptown, like close to Washington Heights.
Cool. Left or right?
Left. What do you want? Why don't you just give her the address?
Well, you gotta get an orientation. You gotta know who the people are.
All right, well,
get to know the contestants, as they say.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
I see.
Yeah. And you have a car?
I have a car. It's a Volvo 240 DL.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 1980. So
1980.
Old car.
Wow. Well, it is. It's just the right car
to
have.
I like it.
Because nobody will mess with that thing.
You probably don't have a lot of miles on it, right?
Well, yeah, it did have. It had, when I bought it, it was, 152,000 miles. But it's two problems I got with it. One, when I turn it on, or at any point when I'm just sitting idle, it shakes. The engine shakes. I don't know what that's from. My mechanic has changed the spark plugs. He's tried everything he can think of, and the engine just shakes.
Parkinson's.
Yeah, just like that. And the other thing is, when it's cold, it takes it a while to get into gear. So, like, when I'm trying to come out of a parking spot in the morning, it takes forever for it to go into reverse. Like, you'll hear it revving up, and then it jerks into reverse. You hear it revving up, and it jerks into drive. Or if I go directly onto the highway, it takes a while for it to get into the overdrive, you know, for it to pick up speed. But once now, if I've been driving it all day, and it's in the transmission's warm, then it'll move gears fine. But when it's cold, it's ridiculous. And I've changed transmission fluid and, I mean, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, you have done that.
Yeah. I don't know what the problem is.
Hey, you have a call on 101.
No. I think I have a call on 101.
Maybe it's us. Do I have to? Is that for me?
Yeah. I think it said, Tom, you have a call on 101. Well, I'm going to give you the good news first.
Okay, what's the good news?
I'm working on it. Jeez, well, the good news.
I think the good news is
Christmas is coming.
No, I would have to say that the good news is that I wouldn't do anything to the transmission.
Okay.
I would just pray.
Yeah, if you've already had the fluid change and you're sure the fluid is full, then the symptom that it has is a clear indication that it's on its way out.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean it's on the way out tomorrow.
What about the shaking, though?
The shaking could be something awful. It could be that you have bad compression. And I would imagine that whoever looked at this thing has checked the compression.
Okay.
But if it didn't, this thing has a fuel injection called CIS, Continuous Injection System.
Uh-huh.
And it has individual injectors for each cylinder.
Yeah.
So let's assume he did a compression test and the compression is good. The thing I'd most likely suspect is that one of the injectors is plugged up with rust.
He was saying, my mechanic, that's the last thing he had said. He said, maybe it is a fuel injector problem.
What he can do is he can pull out the injectors. They pop right out.
Uh-huh.
And he can actually crank the engine over and watch the injectors spray, all three of them.
Okay.
And the fourth one is not going to spray. I would guess that one of them's plugged up.
Oh.
The problem,
is that something I can replace?
Well, it may need to be replaced, but there may be so much rust in the whole fuel system that they're all going to get plugged up eventually, even the new one.
Okay.
But I would, if there is one that's bad, ask them to put a new one in, and that may get it to run on all four cylinders.
He is going to now, this week he's supposed to be taking it to Volvo and have them put it on the machine.
Oh, I don't think I'd do that.
No?
No, you may find out a lot more than you want to know.
Well, he may not tell her everything.
Oh, maybe.
He's the intermediary.
Right.
So he will get the information, and he'll decide
tell him to just tell
how much of it Sheba can handle.
Yeah. This is on a need-to-know basis. this whole operation here. So tell him not to tell you any more than
you need to know.
Well, you know,
I don't expect to keep it that much longer, but if I can hold on to it at least one more year, I'll be happy.
Well, you should be able to. I mean, if it is an injector, that's not going to be horribly expensive. Okay. And I wouldn't be surprised if the transmission can hold in there for a year.
Okay.
Even though it will continue to do what it's doing, there's nothing you can do to fix it.
Well, there is. There is one
thing.
There's
transmission magic.
You can add a can of Transmedic. Trans-Mediterranean.
Are there any auto parts stores in Manhattan? I never saw one.
Oh, sure. They're all over the place.
They are.
Yeah.
Well, take a walk into one of those places and look around for the bottles that have, or cans that have something like transmission something, and the word miracle on it. And sometimes those things actually work.
It is something called transmedic?
It's transmission something, a miracle cure. I forget what it is.
Really?
Yeah, Grecian formula. I don't know what it is, but you go to the parts store.
No, we're serious.
You tell the guy behind the counter
that
your transmission is slipping, and you ask him what they've had the most success with.
Okay.
And they may have four or five different products on the shelf, all of which purport to do the same thing.
Yeah. Okay. Ask them how many people came back and threw the bottle at them for the different brands, and take the one with the fewest number of incidents like that.
Good luck.
Thanks so much.
See ya. Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye,
buddy. Oh, gee. Why can we be so flip? Her car is in its death throes.
Well, it is.
The engine's running on three cylinders or fewer. The transmission is slipping.
What could be worse?
We're laughing.
What could be? I mean, those
you know
are
why?
The, those are the two
in our cars.
Hey, if the engine shakes, at least it means
it's running.
It's running.
There you go.
And in many cases, I would take that.
You would take that.
I would
for
take
sure.
Three cylinders is better than no cylinders.
1-888 Car Talk. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Andy from Oregon. How you doing?
Hi, Andy.
Andy,
we're doing great.
Oregon.
What's happening, man?
Okay, got a question for you. This is going to be probably going to fall into the unusual category.
Paranormal?
Another one of those.
I was driving my 94 Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo across the U.S. last summer. And I got to, with my girlfriend, and I got to Moab. And boy, it was really hot that day. It was pushing about 95, 100 degrees. And we've been driving around for about 5 hours, taking in the sights. And we had brought water, but it was for us. So we drank the water, and then my car, on the way back to Moab at the end of the day, started to overheat.
Sure.
And that wasn't really evident until my girlfriend noticed steam jettisoning from the front of the hood.
Yeah. I mean, when you say jettisoning, you could actually see like a stream of steam coming out from somewhere?
No, not. I wouldn't say like a jet.
Wafting.
You could see it pluming.
Right.
Okay,
yes.
All right.
So we pull over. We'll pull out the manual and we look at that. She's concerned about the loss of fluid. And this is where the question kind of gets ridiculous. We pop the hood. And I just say, hey, let's just let it cool and not worry about it. And we'll just drive very slowly back to town. She says, no, we got to add some water to the radiator. And I say, we don't have any water. And we talk about this some more. And
oh, no.
Yeah.
Not really.
Huh?
No, go ahead.
So she says, add something to it. And I say, no. And then she says, well, we've been drinking water all day.
Oh, I knew it. I knew
right.
it.
And I said, that is not necessary. We don't need to do that. She said, you could probably replace what we lost in steam. And, you know, she's only talking about me. She's not talking in the first person. I had to stand up top there.
But it's such a small opening. I mean, how could you aim for that little hole?
What are you implying here?
So, I mean, you confirmed that the level of fluid in the radiator was low indeed.
Yeah, it was normally, you see the green stuff kind of pushed up to the top.
Yeah.
Okay, it was lower. But, see, I would never have done this alone. If I was alone, I would have waited, driven the car into town. But she's
sure.
Saying, no,
let's put the blame on her.
Yeah, well, she's not here right now.
Yeah, well, of course, that's why.
The question is, I was pretty dehydrated to begin with. And I, you know how it is when you've been in the desert all day and
he is concentrated.
That's right. It sort of has a different viscosity to it.
Yeah.
Anyways, we drove back to town and...
And you made it.
Yeah. What I want to know is it hasn't really been operated much since then. The urine is still in there.
Yeah, you're worrying about whether it has any corrosive.
Yeah, does it? It had a pretty acidic content because I was so dehydrated. Is there any corrosive danger to that in my radiator? And don't, hey, you know what?
Boy.
Don't tell me to flush the radiator.
Okay?
Oh, you thought about this, haven't you?
I know you guys. I've been trying to figure out what advice you might give me. I'm going to beat you to the punch, okay?
Well, first of all, it's impossible that you are the first person to ever have done this.
Okay.
Of course not.
So, I mean, we don't really know what the corrosive nature of this liquid, this mystery liquid is. On the other hand, I'm sure that we have many listeners or many visitors to our website who have engaged in this peculiar activity and would be willing to share with us their experiences. I mean, you may go back and find that the Jeep is gone.
Yeah, the entire cooling system may have just rotted away.
On the other hand, I suspect nothing happened. I mean, you added perhaps a pint to a system that holds probably, 15 quarts.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you didn't add much. And most of what you added was water, believe it or not.
Right.
On the other hand, they don't make toilets out of porcelain for nothing.
Right. That's true. That's true.
But what do we know? We need a call. We need advice of a urologist.
Exactly.
Well, the whole episode leads to an overall broader question, which is, I did go into the manual later, and it talks about, you know, the little plastic reservoir that leads to the radiator?
Yeah.
They say add a 50-50 solution of approved coolant and water.
Yes.
Why not just add water all the time? What is in the coolant that makes it so special?
There's rust inhibitor. Oh. There is water pump lubricant.
Okay.
And there's antifreeze, which didn't matter to you in Moab, but it does matter to us up here in the great frozen north.
Okay.
So that's really the reason.
But you didn't dilute the antifreeze. You did not inhibit. You did not uninhibit the rust inhibitor. You didn't do anything bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Worry about it.
But I would flush it. I would definitely flush.
You would definitely flush the radiator.
And we'll ask our resident chemist, Jim Davis. He knows all about these things.
Well, gentlemen, I want to say thank you for your help.
Well, Andy, thank you for being so candid with us and so forthcoming with this information. I'm sure, like I said, there are millions of people that have done this, but you're the only one that has admitted to it.
Well, I don't mind admitting to it when you only know my first name.
Yeah, well, we'll know everything about you within a few hours. So. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye,
Andy.
Well, it's happened again. You've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy, Frogman Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical spiritual and menu advisor, just back from the Tenafly Pork Shamai Flounder Fry, Salsify, and Takeout Tie, stop on by, is John Bugsy Lawler.
What a guy, huh?
Our public opinion is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our rocket scientist is Chet Propelled. Our overnight bus driver is Borden Drowsy. Our ranch foreman is Hyman Old Cowhand. Our PR director is B. Esser. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Payne Diaz, who's married to our father-in-law liaison, Royal Payne Diaz, who are the proud parents of a teenage daughter, Sasha Payne Diaz, and a brother in the military, Major Payne Diaz. And they have a dog, too, Toto Payne Diaz. And, of course, the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the out-of-work philosopher kings in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and above all, don't drive like my brother.
And below all, don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week, we hope. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, download other migraine-inducing episodes, and check out our clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, we're here to help you clean up your driveway. Got an old car that's seen better days? Well, the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program will tow it away for free and send the proceeds to the NPR station of your choice. Do it now before your local neighborhood watch group labels your car an eyesore and plants geraniums in it. Turn your car into the programs you love. Find out how at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though NPR staff has passed through the stages of denial, anger, depression, and acceptance, then go back to denial again whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.